Hello, my name is JC Dean. Welcome to my podcast. Today, I'm going to talk about fad diets, what they are, why you shouldn't do them, and I'm going to give you a checklist of all the things that make up a fad diet, and you'll walk away from this podcast knowing whether or not the dietary decision you're about to make is a good one or it's one that you should avoid. So what is a fad diet? It is usually something that is popular. It's stylish around the time or something popular in the media. Usually these diets are not healthy. They are very short term. They might get you some really quick weight loss, but a majority of the people that do these diets end up crashing and gaining all their weight back and usually then some. Usually there's a lot of hype around it. You might see doctors promoting it. You might see celebrities promoting it. They usually promise dramatic results. But again, it's usually something that is stylish. It comes and goes. We're going to go over some of those popular fad diets in a little bit. But just know this, a fad diet usually promises massive results with very little effort. It usually sounds too good to be true. And it usually has buzzwords around it. So it might be the DNA diet, the blood type diet. Right now, one that's really popular is called carnivore. If you've not heard of the carnivore diet, really quickly, it is basically an all-meat diet, no carbohydrates, and some people, it's really extreme. It's just red meat, salt, and water, and that's it. They eat nothing else. And for some people, it's been really great, and I say some, it's a very small percentage, and those are the only ones that are really talking about it. We're going to cover that in a second called survivorship bias. But this diet is really extreme. Pretty much all fad diets are very extreme. The ketogenic diet has become really popular in the last few years. There are doctors promoting it, all kinds of fitness celebrities promoting it. And the truth of the matter is, if you look at a traditional ketogenic diet, it's really, really high in fat, very, very low in carbohydrates, usually no carbohydrates or trace carbohydrates from green vegetables, and then a small amount of protein. So actually not that much protein. And then there are variants of it, right? So there's like high protein diets, that are called keto, which aren't really keto. And then there are even diets that eliminate fat. So there's really high carb approaches, really high carb, low protein, low fat approaches. There are very high protein, low carb, low fat. There's a whole bunch of different ones. And I'm going to cover one in particular really quickly here. Someone in the Results Crew, which is my premium community, where people get accountability and support from myself and the community with training and fitness and nutrition. A new member actually just joined and she posted and she said, I need some help. I did the ideal protein diet 8 years ago. I lost 30 pounds and then I slowly, of course, gained it back. This is a very common type of statement and experience that a lot of people have when it comes to doing a fad diet. In her case, she followed this diet called the ideal protein diet. I had never actually heard of it until today. So let me just read off to you a little bit from an article. I did some Googling to learn a little bit about it, and I'm reading from an article online describing the diet here. As suspected, the ideal protein diet follows very specific guidelines, and there are a few phases to this diet. So the first phase is weight loss, phase two is a 14-day phase, and then phase three is called pre-stabilization, and the phase four is maintenance. Now, this is kind of typical of fad diets and how they're laid out. They're usually made to look very simple, and the rules tend to promote adherence. So you have a handful of rules, and they're really easy to follow, and everything should be great as long as you follow these rules. The problem is that once you start to get into the diet, they're very restrictive, and they're very hard to follow, because the rules are so strict. This one is called the ideal protein diet, and it's kind of a variant on a ketogenic diet. It's high protein, low everything else, and it also calls for some supplements. We'll get into that in a second. But just really quickly, an ideal protein diet, the protein meals can only be purchased through authorized clinics from what I'm reading here. Most of the meals provide 20 grams of protein, and then they are actually less than 200 calories per serving. So if we just do the quick math, let's just say that you eat three meals a day, like a standard person, three meals a day. Let's say you eat four. That is a whopping 20 grams per meal. So that's 60 to 80 grams of protein per day, which is on the very low end of what someone who is active and exercising should be getting. And then it says the meals are about 200 calories per serving. So if we just look at the, let's just say four meals, that's 800 calories per day. I don't care who you are and what you're doing. I don't care if you are not moving at all throughout the day and you're just doing the basics. You're just waking up and going to work and you're not exercising. 600 to 800 calories a day is going to make you lose weight no matter what. Doesn't matter. So this diet from the beginning is going to work. The problem is that it's just not sustainable. I don't know about you, but it's easy for me to have 600 to 800 calories with my breakfast. I can't imagine having 600 calories for the whole day. Now, based on this diet, the phase one will last a period of time, basically to where you get to where you're starting to get close to your goal weight. Now, this is very generic, right? And this doesn't really take the individual person into account. So it's hard to say if this diet is ideal for anyone. And I'm gonna tell you right now, this diet is not ideal for anyone just because 600, 800 calories a day is not going to be beneficial. It's probably gonna cause more harm than good. It's gonna leave you hungry and it's gonna set you up for failure later on, which we'll talk about in a second. But you basically follow phase one for as long as you need to, eating those low calories every day for as long as you need to until you can start to get close to your goal weight. And then it goes into phase two, which is a 2-week period where you're still eating those similar meals, but you start to add in other things to the diet. So you start to put in some veggies with your meals and you start to have a little bit more than you were previously. And then after you get through that 2-week phase, you go to what's called pre-stabilization. And that is the transition to a diet that you maintain for life. And what you start to do here is you start to swap out whatever the ideal protein meals that were provided to you that you paid for, you will swap those out with what they say is just whole foods. So this should include protein, fat, and carbohydrates within every meal, which that's how most people should be eating in general. They say in this particular phase, you don't have to take any of the supplements anymore. I'll back up to the very first phase. So remember how I said the first phase was the weight loss phase, and you would have the ideal protein meals, which were 20 grams of protein, 200 calories per serving. It also calls for a handful of supplements. So I'm just gonna read it to you from here. It says breakfast, 1 multivitamin, 1 potassium supplement. Dinner, 1 multivitamin, 2 calcium magnesium supplements, and 2 omega-3 supplements. Snack, you're gonna have 2 calcium magnesium supplements with that snack. With all other meals, 1 to 2 digestive enzymes. And then once daily, 2 antioxidant supplements and 1/4 teaspoon of ideal salt. Now, ideal salt is capitalized. They're probably, and again, I haven't researched this too much, but there's so many fad diets that they're all kind of the same in the end. I would assume that because it's capitalized, there is some type of salt that you buy with the diet. Here's the problem. If a diet is calling for a ton of supplements, it means one of two things, usually both of these things. The diet is devoid in the nutrients that you need, and there's probably a financial incentive for whoever's selling you the diet to make money off these supplements. That should be 2 red flags right there. If you have to rely on supplements to get your nutrients, something's wrong with your diet. We need to fix your diet. And then if someone is recommending a certain supplement to you and only that supplement because it has a bunch of benefits, supposedly, you can pretty much ascertain right there that that person is going to be getting a financial kickback. And while there's nothing wrong with making money, you should always question someone's recommendation. If it's attached to an affiliate commission or if it's attached to money in some way, would they recommend that to you if they were just giving you advice? If they wouldn't, chances are you don't want to trust them. You don't want to follow them. There's 4 phases of the diet, like I already mentioned. Phase 4 is what's called maintenance. And in this particular article, they say phase 4 maintenance should last 1 year. And this is a maintenance plan that should last for 12 months. And it's to teach you how to keep the weight off and enjoy dietary freedom, eat what you want, and eat what you want in moderation. And even includes some like indulgence days or refeed days is what I call them, or cheat days. And that's where you're allowed to have whatever food you like. You know, as long as you stick to that pattern, as long as you only do that once a week, you should be able to maintain your weight and maintain your diet the rest of the time, and you should be able to maintain your weight throughout the year. Now, just as I read a second ago from the TRC community, she went on this diet, lost 30 pounds, gained it back. This story is super common, happens to tons of people who are dieting and trying to lose weight. And unfortunately, it's par for the course. This is what almost always happens with fad diets. And this makes me want to talk about the next thing that is very common, and this is called survivorship bias. So if you're not familiar with what survivorship bias is, this is a cognitive bias people experience whenever they see success stories for some type of diet that got a bunch of results. I'll give you a really quick example. Is right now, ketogenic dieting is super popular, and all you'll see when you start researching the keto diet is all these success stories of all these people with before and after pictures of how they lost 50, 60, 100 plus pounds. You'll see the picture before when they were really fat and overweight and probably unhappy and they're not smiling in the picture, and then you'll see a picture to the right of it where they're 100 pounds lighter, they're smiling, maybe they're in workout gear, and then a little testimonial about how I feel so much better, I'm healthier, my blood lipids improved, and you know, overall my quality of life has improved. Now, I think that's amazing. If someone gets results and they maintain those results, I'm happy for them. I want them to have that experience. The problem is these experiences are not the whole truth. What you're seeing is true for that person, but it's not the truth for all the people that tried the diet. And when it comes to these types of success stories, I like to think about the analogy of throwing worms up to a wall. You can grab 100 worms and you can toss them at the wall, and a certain amount of them are going to stick. And then after a period of time, some of those are going to fall off the wall. They're going to continue to fall off, and then there's going to be some that just stick indefinitely and whatever. Maybe they had the most ooze or goop or whatever you want to say. They just stuck to the wall and they stayed there. So let's say only 5 of those worms stuck to the wall. The other 95 fell and hit the floor. This is survivorship bias. Those 5 people that you see claiming how great the diet was and how it worked for them and how much better their life is, they're a small percentage of the population of the people that tried it. And mostly what's happening here is all those people that tried the diet and failed, they failed pretty quickly. And it wasn't because they were stupid or they were dumb or they didn't have the willpower or they weren't smart enough or they just didn't have what it took. It was because the diet was just not sustainable. It didn't work for them. It didn't work for their schedule. It didn't work for their preferences. It probably left them feeling hungry and tired and lethargic, and they probably struggled really badly. So they quit, and they didn't stick it out for the 30 or 60 days or 90 days or however long the guru tells you you need to stick it out for. The 100 people tried the diet, and only 5 people succeeded. And this leads to the problem that most of these fad diets present. And that is, these success stories are usually emotionally charged and it tugs at your heartstrings. It makes you feel a certain something. If you've been feeling really bad about yourself and you have a bad self-image and you hate being overweight and you can't stick to a training program and you can't stick to a whole food diet that makes you feel good and where you steadily lose weight, you see this magical promise, something that tells you you can lose 60 pounds in the next 30 days if you really just follow this diet to the T. It makes you want to know more. It makes you curious and excited, like maybe you have some hope. And that's a majority of what fad diets are preying on. They're trying to get you to buy into the program, buy into whatever dietary rules they have. And the truth of the matter is if you can stick to it, if you have the willpower and you can grit your teeth and get through it, you will lose weight, you will make progress, but you're going to be miserable and your chances of putting that weight back on skyrockets, because all the stuff that you're doing is not something that you can maintain. And I'll just tell you right now, anyone can go on a 1,000-calorie diet. Are they going to be able to stick to it for a long time? No. Because you're going to get hungry, you're going to get tired, you're going to be frustrated, you're going to be sad that you can't eat the foods that you like, and frankly, it's going to cause physiological issues that makes it hard to have the energy to work out. It's going to make it hard to think straight. Most people talk about the keto diet being amazing for cognition, but talk to anyone that's done the keto diet for any period of time, and they go through the first 3 to 4 weeks of severe brain fog. And some people don't ever get through that. Some people continue to struggle. And the people that do end up getting through that, I won't get into it too much now, but basically they're running off stress hormones. Stress hormones are high and they're getting that jolt of energy because cortisol and adrenaline and other stress hormones are being raised in the body because of this particular diet and what's going on physiologically. But truth of the matter is we need glucose. We need sugar. Our brains run on sugar. And you can read the research. You can look at the studies showing that our brain's primary fuel source is sugar. So there's really not an argument there in terms of what is best for your brain and what's best for your physiology. To go back to something really quickly, most fad diets, again, are emotionally charged. They are going to try to get you hooked from the potential benefits. And they never talk about the downsides. It never talks about how much you're going to suffer, how much you're going to struggle, and how hard these diets are going to be. And in general, these people that are promoting these types of diets just want as many people as possible to do them. And they know that a handful are going to stick, and then they can share those success stories and then keep the cycle going of getting new people doing the diet and then hoping that they stick to it long enough to give them a testimonial. And it goes on and on from there. So what I want to leave you with here is I want you to think about this from a practical perspective. If you ever start to look at a diet and you notice that they are cutting out entire food groups, such as cutting out all carbohydrates or cutting out all starchy carbohydrates, or saying you can only have certain green vegetables or you can only have certain types of food, if they're cutting out entire food groups, you're going to know pretty quickly that this is probably a fad diet. It's probably not worth wasting your time on. It's not worth embarking on because it might do more harm than good. If it has a super fancy name like Ideal Diet or Carnivore or some type of buzzword that's attached to it, like the blood type diet or whatever, even paleo, there were so many variants of paleo that made it sound super exclusive and targeted and like it was going to be the next best thing. The problem is that most of these buzzwords are just there to tug at your heartstrings, get you emotional, and get you to make a decision. The other thing I think you should really pay attention to is if these diets have a lot of restrictions and they cut out lots of different foods and they say you can only have a certain amount of foods or these types of foods, for instance, if they say you can only eat fatty fish because of whatever reason, then it's usually a fad diet wrapped up in some fancy name. For the most part, the people that are living the longest and feeling the best and having the best body compositions are following diets that are well-rounded and are mixed. And what mixed means is they have a good amount of protein, carbohydrates, and fat. And you can look all over the world and you can see lots of different people and different civilizations thriving on various types of diets. And some of those diets are really high in carbohydrates. So there are some tribes and some people living in the world living on a natural diet of lots of sweet potatoes and lots of rice, lots of fruit, and then they'll have some fish or some type of livestock as their protein source and then fats that come along with whatever they're eating. And then you have some people that are living on a little bit higher fat diet, but they're still getting enough carbohydrates and enough protein. Most of the people that are thriving and not just surviving are eating a diet that's mixed and it's well-rounded and there's some variety in there. Most of these diets call for a very strict food list, and that's not only going to get boring and repetitive over time, but it's also going to rob you of the nutrients you can get from a well-rounded diet. One more thing I just want to point out to you is if you see a diet that promises a huge reward with very little effort, meaning you don't have to track your intake or you only need to eat a certain type of food, or you can forget about needing to cut out certain foods that you like, all you got to do is follow these three rules. Anytime they're promising a lot of results with very little effort, it should make your BS meter go off. It should make you think maybe this person is lying, or maybe this is not the whole truth. Maybe I need to learn more. And that's something I think we should all practice and, you know, analyze the information. Does this make sense? Does this seem like it's too good to be true? And just kind of trust your gut a little bit. And if you have questions, ask that person. Be like, hey, why are you recommending this? Have people struggled with this type of diet? Have you seen people fail with this type of diet? Most of the time, those people are probably not going to be honest with you. They're not going to tell you about the failures, and they're probably got their head so far up their own ass in terms of how they feel about a certain diet that they're probably not even going to acknowledge those people that have failed or acknowledge that their diet is faulty. And this is especially true when they have a lot of money attached to the outcome of you buying their diet. Here's what you need to remember. This is the so-called outline or the anatomy of a fad diet. If it promises massive results with very little effort, it's probably a fad diet. If it uses some type of buzzwords pertaining to your DNA or something that is popular in the media right now, then it's probably a fad diet. If you see a bunch of success stories online and they seem really drastic in terms of their weight loss or how much progress they made, might be a fad diet. You would need to look at it a little bit more. If it's emotionally charged and they're trying to get you to feel bad about your situation, or they're trying to get you to feel like you're missing a piece of information or you're not doing as well as you could be a fad diet. And lastly, if there are massive restrictions, meaning you need to cut out certain foods or cut out certain food groups like carbohydrates or fat in order to succeed, or they try to trick you into saying that one food or one food group is causing all this weight gain, probably a fad diet. If you enjoyed what I had to say about fad diets, I would appreciate if you share this show with a friend. If you are into podcasts and you want to leave a rating or review, I would love if you do that on Apple Podcasts. It will help me reach more people, and I would love to just hear what you think. And if you have any ideas or topics or anything you want me to talk about, you can leave that there as well. If you want to reach out to me, my website is jcdfitness.com. And if you want personal accountability and expert advice, I would encourage you to check out my premium community called The Results Crew. If you want to learn more about that, go to jcdfitness.com/TRC. That's just the words, The Results Crew. That's jcdfitness.com/TRC. You can read more about that. Thanks for listening. I will catch you on the next show.